You're listening to Valley Edition. Here's a sobering thought. According to researchers at Rice University, children from high-income families will experience about 30 million more words by age 4 than children of low-income families. That's parents or others reading or just talking to young children, describing the world around them. Researchers call this the so-called word gap, and it has big implications for brain development, educational achievement, and long-term success in life. Now a national program from a group called Too Small to Fail is taking on this issue, and it's coming here to the Valley with its campaign called Talking is Teaching, Talk, Read, and Sing. Here to tell us more about this program, we have with us in our studio Linda Gleason of the Children's Movement, a local coalition focused on childhood reading. Linda, welcome.
Thank you.
And we also have Kendra Rogers, a familiar name to many of our listeners. She is currently the Director of Community Investment for Granville Homes, which donated the funds for this project, and her boss, Darius Assemi, President of Granville Homes, who made the $100,000 gift in support of this campaign. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you and good morning.
Linda, I want to start with you, and what are we talking about when we hear this term, the word gap? What does that really mean? It's not vocabulary necessarily at age 4, right?
Right. It's a combination of words and phrases, sentences, and the difference between what low-income children hear by the time they're 3 and children from middle and upper-middle-income homes.
And why is it an important concern?
Well, language development is a critical factor in the overall brain development of children and young children in particular. And it is a predictor of their ability to read on grade level by the time they're in third grade and other indicators along the growth continuum.
And what is your role in this project? How is this going to work? Because you have Too Small to Fail, that's their campaign, and Kendra, feel free to chime in here. You have other coalitions that are involved, NextGen and the Clinton Foundation. This is an initiative that they started and helped. And then you have the Children's Movement and all the other partners. You have Fresno County, you have Fowler Unified, the district attorney. There's a lot of moving parts here. How does this work?
Sure. So this campaign was developed by Too Small to Fail. And so they are a partnership of the Next Generation and the Bill and Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. And so this so far, their goal is to turn this kind of the world into a literacy-rich environment for young children. And so far, they have launched in Oakland and Tulsa. And so it was because of the work that's been done through the Children's Movement, that kind of table that had been set with all of these different community partners that are already engaged around third grade level reading, that we had the ability to really pull this together very quickly and in a very deep way in our community. And that was why Too Small to Fail said, yes, we want to join you. We want Fresno to be the first county in the Valley. And it was only possible because of Darius's commitment and willingness to allow my time to do this work, but also to really get the fun part off the ground, which are the billboards and the radio spots and the TV ads. And so he can share a little bit about why he made the gift that he did to our kids.
Yeah. Darius, you have Kendra working for you now. This is a little bit, I guess you could say, unusual. Kendra comes to you from First Five of Fresno County, where she ran that program for a number of years. And you have her focusing on this. Why is this an important concern to you as a businessman?
Joe, I think you just heard from Linda and Kendra why this has long-term impacts and ramifications for our community as a whole. We have several ills in our community. One is a lack of job expansion and wage growth. These are some long-term issues that we all need to tackle. To address some of these issues, we need to work with early childhood education. And this is one program that addresses some of these issues in our community, especially within the underprivileged, to help move the ball downfield. And we want to inspire and request our policymakers to get on board with us in the same arena as well.
So, Kendra, you mentioned that you're going to have billboards and things. Exactly what does it mean launching this program? You're trying to reach parents and others who interact mm-hmm. with these children. What does it actually do, this program?
Right. So the point of this is that, 80% of a child's brain develops by age 3. So this is about early literacy, but it's also about critical brain development. And so we know in a community that is struggling with resources, despite our need, 1 in 3 children are born in poverty in Fresno County, that we can't afford a lot of the expensive programs. So what's beautiful about this campaign and why Darius was so willing to invest is it's free. It's about parents, caregivers, grandparents, neighbors, just using the environment that they're in to engage with children. So the billboards, for example, are giving contextual prompts. It says, let's talk about the sky. Let's talk about the city. So as parents, you know, we're all busy. I'm a working mom with two little kids. I know what I should be doing, but trying to do it is hard. So this is meant to give them those reminders. Let's talk about food. What shape is that? What color is that? To give them the language that they need and to just remind all of us when we see those billboards or we hear those spots to engage with our littlest ones.
And Linda, Kendra mentioned something I think that's important. You're talking about especially targeting folks from lower income households who have a lot of other challenges. A lot of these folks are single parents. They're working. They aren't at home, they don't have the time necessarily. There's so many pressures. They're working two jobs. Is this as much of a problem of that as it is the awareness of knowing that this is a good thing to do? How do you overcome that? And what is the strategy there?
Well, I think this campaign is a lot about awareness. And I do think that that's a huge contributor to why it is an issue. I think even in regardless of income level, a lot of us, I think that this has been a big aha moment. I think this research and its connection to brain development and literacy development down the continuum again as these children get older has been a wake-up call. And it's something that many people can get connected to. The beauty of this campaign is that it has the reach that it does. Kendra mentioned the mass marketing aspect of the campaign. It also will have tentacles into healthcare arena, new baby bags, pediatricians writing prescriptions to make sure that mothers know that they should be talking, reading, and singing to their children. The Asimi Granville Foundation has been a huge example of how private industry can step up. There are many different ways. So the ability for this entire community to contribute to helping to solve this issue is huge, and this campaign is really a great platform for that.
Is there a concern at all, maybe not so much with this program in particular, this by its general nature, is there a concern, though, about duplication of services? There's so many organizations out there that are all trying to do their part and mm-hmm. all have great focus and efforts to raise the bar in early childhood education. Of course, you have First Five. You have a lot of nonprofits. You have the Children's Movement. You have Read Fresno. You have all these other mm-hmm. reading programs. You have this now. Is that a concern? Because I've heard that mentioned a lot about the Central Valley, that you have a lot of organizations that are doing good work, but maybe it's spread too thin because they have their own overheads and they have to deal with these things. Kendra, what do you sure. see? Because you're coming from right. First Five.
Right. Well,
they had an initiative statewide about
correct,
this, right?
Correct. And actually, when I was at First Five, we kind of gave birth to the children's movement, and that was the very reason. As we said, you know, we have all these organizations doing all of this work, but we don't have a venue for them to come together to talk, to really learn together and understand the issue. And so what was exciting about this campaign was first and foremost to have a business leader like Granville committing their time and stepping up in a big way to support it. But it was also the fact that you had organizations already there. They're looking at literacy and they didn't say, well, let's try to get funding to run an expensive literacy program. They said, let's tap into what's already there and let's start with babies. So you had even school age, you know, educators saying, no, we get that it starts with babies. And then you have folks like Darius, who through his philanthropy is really kind of raising the bar and also requiring that organizations partner together, that the organizations he's investing in are collaborating, that there's not a duplication. So I definitely think it's something that we're really mindful of.
How do you define success with a program like this? What's the end game here? What is success? And I don't know if that's Linda or Darius.
Yeah.
Lower unemployment, mm-hmm. higher prosperity, higher wage growth, healthier, more vibrant community, less gang warfare, less criminal activity.
Those are long-term
yes.
goals.
And you have to start at age zero, basically.
And Linda, your thoughts on that when it comes to not just this program, but it is such a long-term approach. When do we start to see those results? And are we seeing anything? Because this is not the beginning of the overall effort in the macro sense in dealing with these issues. People have been talking about this in the Valley now and early childhood education for a long time, but especially in the last 10 years. Do you think we're starting to see any indicators that we might be on the right track? Is the line moving in the right direction in any way, especially early on?
Well, I think, and speaking from this perspective with regard to the children's movement and its birth only 3 years ago, the focus has really been about building a coalition, as Kendra mentioned, of organizations and institutions and parents, residents that are focused on a couple of key benchmarks for our kids. I think while First Five up and down the state has done a tremendous job of raising the awareness of the importance of early investment, locally here, I think that the early success has been in the growing awareness and urgency around getting our decision makers, business, policymakers, institutional leaders to really be willing to make an investment early on. I think we've been a community that's so used to responding to criminal activity, to the unemployment issues at the later, when these kids are at a point where it's more difficult, more challenging. And so this has really been about a community galvanizing around the importance of tackling this stuff upstream.
Yes, go ahead, Doris.
We can invest in early childhood education or invest in incarcerating people down the road.
Yeah. Kendra, how do you reach this population? Is that one of the challenges that you face with implementing something like this?
Yes, it can be. However, because of the partners, you know, we have Housing Authority on board. So when you talk about where some of our lowest income families live, you know, they're going to have these posters up in their all throughout their developments, their lobbies running PSAs. We have the libraries. They'll be doing talk, read, sing workshops and, you know, reinforcing through the prompts within the library system, WIC, Head Start. So, you know, we have a lot of partners that see this as something to just kind of enhance and liven up and kind of make more fun the messages they were already trying to send out. So I think it's really about galvanizing the community, and as Darius has stated, really getting the business community behind this type of work and understanding that if they want to turn this economy around, it's got to be a long-term strategy and it's got to start upstream.
How is this working in other communities? You mentioned that it was in Tulsa and I forget the other city.
And Oakland.
Are we seeing any success stories coming out of that, or what are we learning from that?
Yeah, they're seeing the buzz. They're hearing parents talk about it. They're hearing grandparents, you know, talking and reading newspapers to their kids, you know, their grandkids that they have, things that they weren't doing before. Again, because it's the little simple, these are simple tidbits, but it's just reminding us to slow down as a community, you know, put down our phones, turn off the radio in the cars or at the bus, and just really sit there and engage and talk with the little ones in our lives.
Again, if you just joined us today, we're talking about this new program called Talking is Teaching, Talk, Read, Sing. It is a national effort from two groups, Next Gen and the Bill and Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation, and it's partnering in Fresno with a number of groups, including the Children's Movement and others, to bring this program to Fresno. And we have with us today in the studio Linda Gleason of the Children's Movement, as well as the folks who are putting up the funding to make this happen in the Valley, and that's Darius Sasemi of Granville Homes and his director of community investment, Kendra Rogers, who comes to the company from First Five, where she used to run First Five Fresno County. What else? Let's go back to this idea of the word gap, Linda. How big of a concern is this? And it's not just something that stops at age four. We're looking at it at age four, age five, but the ramifications down the road continue. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a critical benchmark. I think that the indicator that we're paying very close attention to throughout the county is the percentage of our children that are reading on grade level by third grade. That's a critical benchmark because children shift when they go into fourth grade from learning how to read to reading to learn. And we have only 45% of our kids reading on grade level by third grade across the county. Those children are six times more likely to drop out of high school. There is research and indicators that the literacy rate is used to identify the need for prison beds down the road. It's a critical benchmark for our kids, and the word gap And literacy and language development is a huge precursor to whether or not they'll be able to meet that benchmark.
And Kendra, are there any places where we're seeing, not necessarily just with this program because there's only three communities now that are doing this, but are there any success stories out there where we've seen concerted efforts that have made a difference nationally or wherever along these lines? Is this something we can actually have success with?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what's really disheartening, though, is that where we're seeing a lot of this play out is in other countries. You know, we have other countries that have taken the United States research around early childhood, the research from James Heckman, who's a Nobel Prize winning economist, who has proven from an economic standpoint, best return on investment is early learning and early childhood. And you're seeing this where communities have kind of gone all in and gone deep in terms of early investment. You are seeing tremendous shifts in their outcomes for kids. They are eliminating the disparity gap. So really, it depends. We're going to get out of it what we put into it. And so as long as we continue to kind of trickle little things here and there, we're going to see limited effort. But if we're willing to kind of go all in as a community, which when you have a third of your children in poverty, you know, it's going to take a big lift to get this out and get this turned around. And so, you know, I'm proud to be at Granville and be part of a corporation that understands that a thriving community starts at birth.
Yeah, Darius, Kendra mentioned return on investment as a businessman. It's something that you're familiar with. You support a lot of organizations in the community, including this station. I want to ask you, the last year you told the Fresno Bee that you believe the best philanthropy is good public policy. And that happened to come in a story the Bee was doing about the political side and political donations. You indicated you're going to be more active in supporting candidates that you believe will advance causes in the community. I know that many people listening to us right now are excited to hear about your participation here. I know, however, there's also some who are maybe a little skeptical, not just of corporations of, such as Granville investing in campaigns, but corporations in general involved in that area. How do you feel about that? And is, in your view, what is good for Granville good for the community? Or how do you separate those two sides from philanthropy to the business side? Because they both play a part.
So what's good for the community would be good for business, for all businesses. So part of our drive is to the health and well-being of this community is very important to us. So we need to address the issues at all levels, directly helping organizations that address immediate needs for instant gratification, whether it's, you know, we have many incredible organizations here, such as Food Bank and Poverola House. So we have immediate needs that need to be addressed. And then the longer needs, longer-term issues, which is early childhood education and preventing unwanted teen pregnancy, some of the areas that we're going to be addressing and focusing our resources in. And along with that, we want to make sure we have policymakers that understand these challenges that we face in our community. And we want to be working alongside with them, giving them the information, providing the data and the resources, and our company is very dedicated to doing the research and providing our policymakers and getting a team of policymakers that understand the issues, that can understand long-term issues and how to address the long-term challenges of our community. So along those lines, yes, we are involved in campaigns because, again, the best philanthropy is good public policy, and we want to make sure our policymakers understand the issues. So we want to support those policymakers.
And if I could add on that, you know, when I was at First Five, after, you know, 15 years and almost, you know, close to pushing almost $200 million invested in the community, our poverty rates were higher than when we started for our kids. And I realized that we cannot serve our way out of poverty. And so we had started getting far more active in public policy work and looking at the real issues that were creating the conditions that our kids stayed in this place. So it's been really interesting kind of being on this side of things and hearing some of the criticisms. And, you know, I was sharing with Darius, I said, you know, because I'm the person that processes a lot of it, people have no problems asking him for resources and money for, you know, the work they're doing, the services, their organizations. But, you know, because he's realized that the policy issues are really at the root, the investment in candidates, then kind of people raise an eye. And so I can assure you that what we're doing and the policies that and the candidates that he's, you know, would be supporting in the future are those that care about our kids, that care about their well-being, that understand the complexity of these issues. And I'm really proud that he's willing to put as much into the politics side in making sure that these programs have the policy support they need as the philanthropy.
We have about 20 seconds, Darius.
And we want to inspire and ask every citizen of this community to get involved in policymaking.
Great. Again, we've been talking with Darius Assemi, president of Granville Homes, and Kendra Rogers, director of community investment for Granville. Granville recently made this gift in support of the new program from Too Small to Fail called Talking is Teaching, Talk, Read, Sing. Linda Gleason with the Children's Movement, who's helping to implement it, also with us today. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.